Afghanistan, well, to say, has come some ways when it comes to women rights and liberation. What do you see happening now with the return of the Taliban in power? Because they are very strict on the Islamic way of life.
Yeah. So, you know, between 1995 to 2001, the Taliban was occupying about 90% of Afghanistan.
That's right.
And then there were some states, you know, where they ruled, and some persons were allowed to go to school, but there were some other areas that they were really, really strict. So like I said earlier, Afghanistan is really a very, like, they are people that really uphold their culture.
Mm-hmm.
So it will shock you that right now in Afghanistan, it's more like a mixed feeling. Some people are celebrating. Yeah, but the media will not show that. But then there are also some other people who are really afraid because of the experience they've had in the past. You know, so their fears, they are like mixed feelings because they do not believe in democracy, and also they use Sharia law.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I think that is like the situation. While some people are happy that this is liberation, some persons are really, really afraid.
Mm-hmm.
But then, because this has to do with human rights, you know, people are just very uncertain. Have you wondered why India, China, they are all, even Russia, they are already recognizing the Taliban as a government, even the UN?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then there are going to be lots of regulations because the Taliban also signed a part of the deal, even if at some
regulations point, on who? On the Taliban?
On the Taliban.
Okay.
Yes, because they are supposed, the deal also included clauses that would make them respect human rights, you know, and also tone down on some of their, how do I put it?
The excesses of sorts.
Exactly, yes. So they signed to that part, and I'm really looking forward to see how they are going to keep their own part of the bargain, because the US is already complying.
Mm. Let's talk about that recognition that you mentioned. I was going to come to that point, which seems to be a bone of contention when it comes to the Taliban and they having to seize power, eventually taking over the capital of Afghanistan, Kabul. They've gotten other territories leading up to that point. Is that central to why the Taliban are doing this?
Sorry, can you go over that again?
I mentioned the fact that there is also that, how do I get to call it now, that agitation from the Taliban to get recognized by international communities. Yeah. Up until now, I think it was just, was it Iran or Iraq? Pakistan, yes, that's the name, that sort of gave some sort of recognition to the Taliban as a recognized government. But now that you mentioned that Russia, the likes of China and some other countries are beginning to toe that line, would you say that was exactly central to why the Taliban decided to forcefully seize power?
Well, that was not the reason, but you know, the learning from this shows that there are lots of people who only care about their own economic gains.
Mm.
So those countries who are already rushing to say, okay, we recognize you, we're trying to see how this will turn out, we are willing to work with you, they don't care about Afghans. Like, they are only thinking about what they can gain from this. It's world politics. And then you also mentioned Pakistan. So the Taliban's were originally from Pakistan.
That's right.
I have Pakistani friends who I also spoke with about these issues, just to see, you know, how they feel about it and all of that. But like I said, it's mixed feelings, you know. And for a country like that, that have really like a large set of extremists, you know, it's normal life for them. And some of them, because of how much they respect their religion and their tradition, they are happy. But then some others who are really exposed, who understand what human rights is, you know, are really praying that the Taliban's, you know, actually tone down. So yeah, Pakistan is more like they are fully in support, because the Taliban originally came from Pakistan.
Mm.
You know, so it's still more like Pakistan also being involved in this, also ruling. Mm. And it's all about the economy. You know, it's all about the economy. And you would also be surprised, maybe sometime in the future, the U.S. might also work with them.
Mm.
Well, I don't know, you know. So everyone is trying to think about what this would benefit them.
Mm.
Well, it's Afghans that need to rise up to say that this is our country, you know. These resources belong to us and we need to protect our future and we need to fight for themselves.
Mm.
So let me let you.
Okay. Well, you mentioned the fact that it's more like opposing opinions about this or opposing reactions. Some people are happy and some people are really living in fear right now. What are the chances of evacuation for those living in fear, for those that do not want to experience what they think will happen?
It's really terrible because, you know, Afghanistan is big. Like, they have lots of mineral resources. They have lots of international organizations. And there are also Afghans who have worked with these foreign organizations. You know, some worked with the U.S. government while they were still there and other countries. And they are just afraid that maybe sometime they might be killed or they might be restricted from enjoying normal freedom. You know, so it's really a kind of a chaotic situation right now because everyone is trying to leave as fast as possible. There were some, I think Netherlands was able to rescue some people, but even Switzerland, or like the Swiss government first took their people, and then they are now trying to see how many other Afghans they can take. There are people who are dying at Kabul airport, you know.
Yes.
Children have died, families have lost, you know, their relatives and stuff like that. It's really chaotic because everybody's in panic. People are trying to run away. You know, not just because of the situation, but because they fear for their future. They fear that they might be targeted because they had maybe spoken against the Taliban or worked with their rivals or something like that. Yeah, so it's chaotic. Lots of them are running to Pakistan, several other countries. And I mean, I was surprised when Uganda even said they are willing to host some of them. So
I think Kenya as well also made a statement in that regard.
Yeah.
Okay. You mentioned how it's a mixed bag of feelings for Afghans right about now in the country themselves. Some are happy that the Taliban seized power. Some others are pretty skeptical. And if you take a look at the history of the Taliban, when they were in power from 1996 to 2001, when the U.S. forcefully evicted them, initially they also enjoyed that warmth and pretty warm reception from the large populace at the point in time, until they began to reel out some set of rules, like you mentioned the Sharia thing, girls. I mean, you can't get to watch movies and go to the cinemas and the likes of all of those things that is seen as normal in the, if I could use the words, some other parts of the world. Now that you mentioned that there is now that contrasting the receptivity of the Taliban now, could you put some sort of number to it if you were to rate it based on your interactions with those in Afghanistan?
Well, maybe I'll say 50-50.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, because I have Afghan friends over here in Europe too that are like traumatized.
Mm.
Because they cannot imagine that their country is going to be, you know, immune. Yeah, so, but then, like I said, now, let me bring it home. I'm Nigerian.
That's okay. Right. Mm.
Think about how much the Muslims in Nigeria really appreciate and honor their religion. Now imagine if the whole of Nigeria, you know, is more like an Islamic state, and everybody really, really appreciates their religion. There are lots of people in Nigeria who are, how do I put it, who love the Sharia thing because they feel like this is the way of life. So for that kind of country, you know, for that kind of country, some persons feel like, yeah, I mean, we are going to have our sanity and all of that, you know. So it's okay for them, but then the ones who are really exposed, you know, the ones who live outside of the country, who have seen what liberation means, you know, they are really, really afraid, and they are hoping for. So it's more like maybe 50-50 thing.
All right. Okay. Well, you mentioned regulations on the Taliban. Is the average Afghan aware of this, or is there like an information gap that is giving rise to the fear of things going back to the old ways?
Yeah, so I think what's going on now, it's more like an initial panic. But with time, things will begin to settle. You know, I spoke with an Afghan and he was like, let's give them some time. This is really surprising to say, yeah. Let's give them some time, things will settle. It's more like when a new government takes over power, they need to take time, you know, to get themselves together and all of that. But they've had several press briefings.
That's right.
Okay.
You know, trying to calm people down. They assured women that they would allow women to work and all of that.
Well, in that instance, in that regard, the latest release I did see from the CNN says that the Taliban has told Afghan women to stay at home from work because soldiers are not trained to respect them.
Now that's a problem, because, you know, the Afghan soldiers are even like a different sect. So the Afghan, the Taliban, sorry, not the Afghan soldiers, Taliban soldiers. Yeah. So the Taliban has a structure. You know, they train their soldiers differently, and they also have people who form like an executive arm, people who are trained in leadership, you know, in different sectors, you know, because they are like a very organized group. They have very solid strategies, you know. So the soldiers might not be trained to do this. And like I said, like, an Islamic sect is an Islamic sect. Like a militia is a militia, no matter how much you paint it, you know. And these guys have been trained to fight. A lot of them are really, really brutal. So it's really hard for them to now wear that cap, you know, to even understand what civilians go through and understand what respect is for women.
Well, for how long do they see the Taliban soldiers, you know, out in the streets? Or is this a roundabout way of going against what they have signed?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows if this is how Afghanistan will be. You know, if you always come out to the street and find soldiers with guns, and then, you know, the sight of that, it feels like you are in war when there is no war, because there's always somebody, you know, trying to monitor you. You need somebody to escort you to do stuff, you know. And because they don't even believe in international media and all of these internet stuff, maybe internet might be shut down and stuff like that. You know, nobody knows. So like things are really, really very uncertain. But if other international governments, or maybe the UN, it's really having their eyes on what the Taliban is doing, they will be able to maybe regulate them and see how they can check, you know, from time to time. But it only depends on how much the Taliban is willing to comply or to even respect these authorities, because right now they have power, you know, and it took them time to work to get to this level. So it's going to be very hard, you know, if they are not willing to comply.
Let's bring this back home to Nigeria. Nigeria, as we know it now, has the fight against insurgency, banditry, insecurity on the whole. I mean, the northeast, some other parts of the country. Was it just 2 days ago that the Nigerian Defense Academy in Kaduna was attacked? And I think it was about two soldiers that were reported killed. Another one was whisked away. They're asking for ransom. And then we've heard some back and forth from the defense headquarters, the presidency. The presidency has come out to say that it's some sort of agenda to smear the presidency of the Muhammadu Buhari administration and all of those things. Now, there's also the talk, which I also did read, as regards the presidency granting amnesty to insurgents. In fact, as a matter of fact, I think it's the governor of Borno State who also reiterated this, and he felt it was a good thing for those who are repentant insurgents to be granted amnesty, although he also did mention that they would not be reintegrated back to the society immediately. Is this a right path to go and to follow, looking at what is happening in Afghanistan?
Yeah, like a lot of these things are really very sensitive and there are just uncertainties around it, you know. So one would also ask who exactly are they trying to provide amnesty for? Are they the real fighters or those people who were forcefully, you know, asked to join the insurgent group? And now they managed to escape and the government wants to provide an intervention to them. But then those definitions are really not very clear. So we never know. And it's really, really risky. So there are a couple of interventions by humanitarian agencies in Borno State. Some are also even helping to support people who were taken forcefully to join these guys, and they managed to escape. I was part of one of those programs.
Hello?
Hello,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, go on, please.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really a very sad situation, you know, because people are being abducted from their communities and forcefully asked to join these groups. They are exposed to all sorts of things, and a lot of them escape. So when they are back, you know, should we now define them as repentant Boko Haram? Like, were they really Boko Haram or they were abducted people? So like, these definitions need to be clear, you know.
Yeah, but how can one really, sorry to cut you short, how can one really tell who was forcefully abducted? I mean, anybody could be captured and claimed.
Exactly. And then some of those guys who are also sent back or who are allowed to escape, they might also be spies. You know, they might also have been sent by Boko Haram.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's really, really, it's a dilemma. So the Nigerian government needs to really be careful. I cannot say for sure that amnesty is a good program for a kind of militant group or a terrorist group, because we need to call a terrorist group a terrorist group, you know. And if they are terrorist groups, then let's treat them as terrorist groups. But then we also need to understand that there are lots of people, even children, underage children of less than 15, some are 10, 9 years, that are forced to join these groups and manage to escape, you know. So first, they need to be able to define who exactly falls within that repentant Boko Haram category, you know. And then how do they even check that this guy is not a spy or this guy has not been sent? Because it's still similar to what goes on in Afghanistan. There are lots of people who fight for the Taliban that also joined the Afghan military group that the US government was also using, you know, to fight against the Taliban. It's more like you are asking me to fight against myself, because they took an oath. They are more like brothers, you know. So are we undoing ourselves? you know, with our own resources. So these things need to be clear. The government needs to be very transparent with people. And then if there is something for Boko Haram, then I don't think that should be amnesty.
Mm.
I mean, yeah.
All right. Well, we'll get to pay attention to the calls of those listening to us very shortly. But before we do, I would also love to get your opinion about that attack on the Nigerian Defense Academy in Kaduna. When you heard it, I'm sure you're aware, what was the first thing that came to your mind? And then the president came out to say that it was a way to try to smear their fight against insecurity and the gains they've made in previous months and in recent times.
So the first thing that came to my mind was that the security system of Nigeria is being threatened, and it's threatened by the bad guys. I also don't like to call those, what did you call it? The bandits. I don't like to call them bandits. Like, who are they really? You know, from the story I heard, there were almost 100 that stormed into the Defense Academy.
Mm.
They are organized. You know, there is a strategic thinking behind this. They have specific persons within the military that they want to pull down because there is something they want to achieve.
Mm.
You know, and we have really experienced people in Nigeria, in the government, that can think through this. But it's so sad that lots of people are not, you know, implementing what they should. Because of the whole political, I just call it economy of war, because a lot of them are benefiting from the situation in the Northeast.
Mm.
You know, so we need to find out who these bandits are, because this is not the first time they are attacking, you know, strategic persons.
Right.
For them to storm into the Defense Academy, it means that Nigeria is not safe again. You know, and because we distract ourselves with the wrong nomenclature, you know, so people just say bandits. Like, what is the business with bandits and the Defense Academy?
Mm-hmm.
These guys are some, like, they are from somewhere, you know. I don't know if they are Boko Haram or they are also another terrorist group or a different sect that is trying to attack the Nigerian government. But then the aim is to weaken the Nigerian government.
Mm.
This is not about politics. And that is the problem we have in Nigeria. The government tries to make justification for their weaknesses. You know, this is not about Buhari. This is about a certain group of people threatening the security of Nigeria. So what are they supposed to do?
Mm.
You know, so yeah, that is my opinion.
Mm. All right. Let's hear from those listening to us right about now. You can get a call us on 0704-400-1067, 0817-444-1067 and 0817-555-1067. We have joining us from the drum Germany, Deborah Brown, and we're looking at the issue of the Taliban's takeover of Afghanistan, and we're trying to marry that with insecurity issues that we have in Nigeria. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Afolabi is my name. I'm calling from Abeokuta.
Afolabi, right. Go on, please.
Yeah, what an interesting topic today. I want to just chip in some things. If you look at the beginning of the Afghanistan problem, hello?
Where would you go on, please?
If you look at the beginning of the Afghanistan problem, we discovered that at times when we think we have tricks to get something, we might end up creating problems. Now, when the USSR, the Soviets, invaded Afghanistan, the American government, via the CIA, they went for covert operations. And that was when they began to train Talibans. So the Talibans were just like a group. So they began to train them. Along the line, the Taliban made the people to understand that they can give them peace and protect them and so on. That was how the Taliban got into power. Now, if we look at it, the United States created the problem for the whole world. And the same thing is happening in Nigeria as well. We are creating some problem for ourselves. The other time when we were talking about the Okada, this thing, we use miscreants to collect revenue on behalf of the government. All sorts of unlawful activities were going on. And at the end of the day, this might bring out agitations or, you know, resistance from the people. And something along the line might happen. We just have to watch it. We have to sincere with everything we do so that we can have peace.
Thank you very much, Afolabi, for talking to us. We appreciate you. 0704-400-1067, 0817-444-1067, as well as 0817-555-1067. We have another caller now. Please turn off your radio so we can have a seamless conversation. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
My name is Mr. Owl. I greet everybody in the studio.
All right.
Good morning. Thank you. Go on.
My love from Ashiro.
Come on, please.
My brother, I think I spoke with this little yesterday about the danger in creating a monster. You understand that they want to turn back to fight back. You see, the mistake they made at Afghanistan, like the last caller says, U.S. were training them. You see, all these trained people, you now bring them to your own military settings. At the end of the day, these are the people that graduated or promoted to the rank of the generals. So now they are now in charge. Look at what is happening in Nigeria. You see somebody that has tasted blood, over hundreds of blood of human life. You now say you want to rehabilitate them and, you know, watch their bad brain and bring them into the Nigerian military. My dear brother, remember what is going on in this country. We have some people that are getting their promotion very rapidly. Once all these people get to the level, by that time, they will not be used. I pray Nigerian case will not be like Afghanistan, but we should be careful. It is better we avoid it than to face it. That is what I will say.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you. Here is another caller this morning. Good morning. Good morning to you.
Alara is my name.
Alara.
From Abeokuta.
Thank you for joining us. Go on, please.
First of all, like the first caller has said, whatever problem that is emanating globally, America and the United States should be taking, should be responsible for them, because there's nothing that will have happened that you not find your hand in them. Number one is for economical gain. Number two is to sustain the world power. You want to remain dominated in the entire globe. And at that time, and at the end of the day, when it is not coming favorably to them, they discharge the responsibility. At the end of the day, they leave the country into chaos and some other things that your analysts have made mention. Come to talk of Afghanistan, take it from Iran. What happened? Weapon of mass destruction. Today, there's no single weapon of mass destruction that has been shown to the world, except that they have ruined that country, killed the leader who is managing to pull everything together to make the country to be united. And in Britain, they set up a panel then to review what the activity of UK in what I'm arguing in Afghanistan. Eventually, Tony Blair was blamed that he manipulated everything to make the soldier to work in that arena, and at the end of the day, nothing should show for it except that they are tapping their oil. If Kwale, like your other person has said, Afghanistan has some mineral resources, they will have tapped from it. Maybe it is no more beneficial. That's how they have to release. Coming to Nigeria as a nation, I think we have to be very careful so that they will not set our house on fire. Boko Haram, though they started in promoting Sharia, today, if it's Sharia that Boko Haram wants to protect, I think they have gone beyond the boundary, because in Sharia, the life has to be protected. You don't kill an innocent person. Today, it has escalated into banditry, kidnapping, and so on and so forth. And today, we are having Fulani men rearing their head. I think our government needs to be sincere with us. They have accumulated list of numbers of people that they have identified. Why would they not prosecute them? Why would they not make them to be known to the masses to know who are our enemies that are within, that are being sponsored by outside? I think we want to move as a nation. The government has to report without fear or favor to any one of them. Let them be known and let us know as Nigeria what we have to do in order to address ourselves. And let us do that. we may end up having what we have. Unfortunately, we don't have the resources America have and some other developed countries. Good morning.
Thank you very much, Alaran, for talking to us. Let's take one more call and we'll get back to Deborah. I mean, you've heard a lot of the callers. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Angela, good morning.
Good morning, Nicholas.
Yeah, this is Nicholas.
Go on, please.
Yeah, one of the definitions of a state by Max Weber is that maintains a locally legitimate use of violence. America sees they own the world. I don't know this. They have a story called the Manifest Destiny. And they feel they met God, and God told them that they should take care of the whole world, Americanize the whole world. But even before Jesus Christ came on earth, there was Zoroaster, there was Buddha, there was Confucius. And before states came to be organized, states derived their power from the cherished beliefs and traditions of the people. Some might be archaic. Evolution will take care of that. Even America had to be free from Britain. And they named it the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. If a people decide that their women should be covered from head to toe, and that they don't want their women to be lesbians or gays, or that a man should go to a toilet and go to a female section because from gender dysphoria, he feels he is a woman, America should allow them. Militancy is always the resolve to destroy a people's, to react to a people's way of existence. Afghanistan, from the ancient times to the Middle Ages, Afghanistan to Alexander the Great, they have tried to conquer it because it is an invasion route. And different cultures tried to pass there. But try to have the ability to withstand external pressure. And even they went to Iraq, they failed. They went to Iran, they failed. Vietnam, before saw American Marines lifting Americans from the top of their embassies. Now they have created a massacre. In the last few weeks, the Taliban got to a place like Lokoja in Kandahar. They expected Americans to move their citizens. Meanwhile, these guys are already prepared. My unit Afghanistan army is four times the US army. But the Taliban, the meaning of Taliban is a threat. Taliban in Pashto language is a threat. Your guest said they look organized. They don't look organized. They are the most organized group on earth as we speak. And they have their agenda. America should solve their own problems in their state and allow others. Russia is a world power. China is a world power. Russia and China are two-thirds of the world power. They have shown financial relationship with the Taliban. And bringing something down to Nigeria, the area will realize that any injustice anywhere, independent of tribe, religion, or faith, what do we call sex? You might be a Christian. Even in Christianity, you have different sects now. Some are Catholic, some are Anglican, some are sex and denomination are not crimes. They are not human disasters. If a case Afghanistan comes today to Abeokuta, to a five-star hotel to recruit graduates, I'm telling you that you will see graduates in that interview. Because even within their college, life expectancy in Afghanistan is even higher than in Nigeria.
Thank you very much, Nicholas, for talking to us. Well, Deborah, you did hear lots of the callers, as it stands,
yeah,
overwhelmingly felt the United States is responsible for what is happening in Afghanistan. Do you feel the same way? Are they right?
So, like I said, this is a dilemma. And one question we need to ask ourselves in response to, like, the last speaker is, would Al-Qaeda have been stronger, you know, if not for the military intervention of the U.S.? Because looking at the 9/11 attack, you know, would that had happened in several other parts of the world if the U.S. had not intervened and declared war on terrorism? You know, so it's a dilemma. This is an unfortunate situation.
But is it actually wrong to declare war on terrorism? I mean, from the perspective of the U.S.?
Yeah, it's not a wrong thing because, you know, Al-Qaeda became like a risk to the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
If they could carry out that magnitude of attack in the U.S., it means they could do it in any other part of the world. And I think that was why the US got support from several other countries, you know, to intervene in Afghanistan. So it's just unfortunate that Afghanistan was the country hosting this terrorist group.
Okay, go on.
Yeah, so we need to look at all of the sides, you know, even if the issues have escalated up to this point, you know. And then one more thing I need to add, based on the first speaker's comment, so he was talking about the structure and how Nigeria has to be careful, and
right.
I need to add my voice to that.
That's right.
So specific things that I see is really similar between Boko Haram operation and the Taliban militia group is that the both of them are like extremist groups. You know, they both use violence, they violate human rights, they have a governance structure, and I tell you that the communities or the local governments that Boko Haram have taken over in Borno State, they have a governance structure. You know, they collect tax from people. And the reason why they are around that region is because of the Lake Chad. You know, they are strongly occupying certain parts of Cameroon, Niger, and that part of Nigeria. There are two local governments, I think, Guzamala and Abadam. They are still there. They have leadership. You know, and that was how the Taliban started taking over territory, constituting leadership, and Boko Haram is very organized. So like the first speaker said, like, Nigeria has to be careful. We have to expose those who are our enemies within and see how we will deal with this, if we have to deal with this from the core, because these groups will continue to be stronger and stronger and stronger, and we only pray that they don't overpower the military.
All right, well, let's take a few comments. There are a few comments on Facebook now. Oduwole Darishashan says, good morning all. There has never been an incompetent government such as this since the foundation of the world. Well, that's a bit harsh. They have the resources to track and arrest people outside the shores of the country while they keep doing mayhem within the country. This is beyond banditry. Like the U.S. was incompetent when the Pentagon military headquarters was attacked on 9/11, like when the U.N. head office and police headquarters was attacked in Abuja when GEG was president. Our country has been under attack since 2007. Making politics out of it because it supports your narrative is evil. Thank you. We also have a few comments on WhatsApp. Nicholas says, America raised and trained Bin Laden. When you ride on the back of a tiger, you end up in it. At the end of the day, was it not Pakistan Bin Laden was found? That is coming from Nicholas.
I have a call. It's here from this person. Please turn off your radio so we can have a seamless conversation. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am Alan Ezeo. Please, I have to chip in one thing.
You have 1 minute now.
September 11 clear. September 11 issue, WTC is a big nation and plan of America. They lied it on some people, they planned it and they executed it. And that was basically to attack people as terrorists in the world. Good morning.
All right. That sounds more like an allegation, though, on that we're not exactly sure. So, but it's okay. You made your opinion known.
All right. We have another comment from Ola Joel. The situation of Nigeria's insecurity is like the little books. Things fall apart and the center can no longer hold. The only thing that can solve security problems of the country is by restructuring and granting state police.
All right.
The federal government policing system has failed and can no longer hold, and is making the center fall apart, even the component region in turmoil.
We'll have to proceed on a break now, but let's thank Deborah for being a part of the conversation. Although we're from Germany, Deborah, by the way, is a humanitarian professional currently working in the Netherlands with an international NGO supporting the implementation of DG ECHO, that is European Civil Protection and Humanitarian Aid Operations. Thank you, Deborah, for joining us from Germany.